Merrill. Gabriela.
It's not on yet.
Okay. Martha. Not on yet. Thank you. I'm going to mute. Okay. I will as soon as she comes on.
Brandela.
Not on yet.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute. I got a lot of noise.
Okay.
Hi, Hannah. It's Meryl. Should we text him or call him, I think?
No.
Or, no, just wait.
If you want to try, you can. But lately, we haven't been doing it because we feel like he needs the rest. But if you want to text him, it's 10 minutes after, and that's usually the longest he waits for us. And so we've been doing the same. We used to call him, but we kind of quit because we feel like he's doing so much.
Oh, look at that.
A surprise. I actually made it in time.
Ah, good.
Okay.
We were hanging in there.
We were. All right.
I'm going to mute.
Me too.
Okay.
Muting.
This is our Jewish history class. We will begin with a Shem Yehud, and just reminding you that we're teaching Jewish history based on the times. And the times are represented by the Parashah of the week. And this week it's Shavuot, which is the Esther Dibrot. And you'll Shem Yehud could shaparit to Vishkin Day, Bivshilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu, Liakta, Lashem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino, Amadunai Elohinu, Alena Maseya, Dena Kunene, Alena Maseya, Dena Kunene. The Esther Dibrot actually has two versions. One is in the book of Exodus, which is what we will be reading today. It's chapter 20, I believe. And the other version is in the book of Devarim, in the Parashah Vayechanan. And there are actually 32 differences between the two versions. Over the course of centuries, as so many different men felt that they needed to have a religion that was different than other religions, they translated, they determined that their Ten Commandments were slightly different. So I'm not sure how many there are now, but there's a lot. It's very interesting about the Ten Commandments, because they're not commandments. If you read them, they are statements, and you can interpret them as commandments. But the Zohar explains to us in the Parasha of Tzav, which means command, that whenever someone commands another person, the person receiving the command, if he follows the command without his own decision to do what the command is directing him to do, if it's not his decision, then it's idol worship, because he's abdicating his free will. And the question really is, what's so important about free will? God is all of everything, all knowing, all wisdom, all mercy. Everything is God. What's the difference if God created us, which he did, and he wants us to do something, don't we have an obligation to do it? But God is saying, no, I created you, but I need you, and it can't be a need because God has no lacks. But our language is so limited that how else can I express this? God doesn't have a desire. He doesn't have a need. But he created a system that says, in order to reveal the light that I want to be revealed properly, you have to choose to reveal it. And you have to choose to reveal it with a strong emotion, a strong desire to relieve it, to reveal it. And that strong desire is what I have created in you. But you need to choose it. So what happens if I don't choose it? One of the ways of understanding the way the natural world is created and exists and works is if I do not choose to reveal the light, God nudges me. He pushes me until I choose on my own volition to reveal what he wants me to reveal, what he created me to reveal. But those nudges, doesn't that stop our free will? And that's what seems to be a paradox. Because God is saying, you have free will. I want you to reveal this. I created you to reveal this light. And if you don't, I'm going to just push you a little bit until you decide on your own volition that that's what you want to do. And I give you 7,000 years, but not really 7,000. I give you 6,000 years to accomplish that. To accomplish what? To accomplish the desire, the choice to reveal what I want you to reveal. And if you don't choose that in the 6,000 years, I'm going to bring destruction and havoc and give you another chance after the destruction and the havoc. The destruction and the havoc is called the Armageddon War. And then I'm going to give you another 6,000 years. I'm going to cleanse the earth. I'm going to bring a new earth. Maybe it's the same physical planet. Maybe it's a different one. I'm going to bring you and let you choose through free choice again. Until you finally learn that pain and suffering is not necessary if you would just do what I ask you to do. It's really difficult to understand this concept. How can this be free will? A nudge is still a nudge. A push is still a push. But let's read the verses of the Esther Dibrot from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting with the first verse. But the Esther Dibrot is said to start with the second verse. So verse 1 is, and God spoke all these words, saying. It's a very common expression in the Torah. The second verse. Anochi Hashem Elohecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibet Avadim Lo Yihyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. With the Kabbalah, we get to see some very interesting connections. The word Vaidaber is the same gematria as the 72 name of God, Resh Aleph Hey, dealing with sight. So on the physical level, it's speech. But on the spiritual level, it's sight. Elohim is speaking by the Ber Elohim, verse 1. Elohim has many connections. The number Gematria 86 is connected to the 72nd name of God, Mem Vav Mem, which is a vaccine against handicaps, because a handicap is a judgment. And Elohim is a name of God dealing with judgment. It's also the sum of Echie and Adonai. Echie is 21 and Adonai is 65. That's 86. And concealed in the name Elohim, the name of judgment, is a 72 name Yud Lamed He. And Yud Lamed He is a name of mercy. And the letters that are left in Elohim after Yud Lamed He is Aleph Mem, which is 41. Which is Im, which is mother, which is Bina. So in these first two words, we see some tremendous connections. The next word in verse 1, et, Aleph Tetah, and the Zohar has told us the et is not a direct object word, a word that identifies a direct object. The et is the Shekhinah. So if you see judgment in these all these different forms, all of the Shekhinah, the fourth word is call, and call connects to Yud Lamed Yud, the second of the 72 names, that has the meaning of God will fight for you. The next word, the fifth word, is Hadivarim. And Hadivarim has the gematria of Re'eh, the same as that first my mistake. No, it's not my mistake. So the first word is sight. The fifth word is sight. Ha'ele, it means, translates these, and then le'mor. So the literal translation is speak, but on the spiritual level, see. Elohim, the name of judgment on the physical level, but also connected to these other names that I mentioned, dealing with judgment and dealing with mercy within judgment. The Shekhinah, God will fight for you, is the word call with the name Yud Lamed Yud. Hadivarim, usually translated as words, but could be translated as things. But it's also on the spiritual level a vision, a sight. These, ha'ele, and le'mor, to say. I'm trying to get across to you that the Eser Dibrot are not words. They're not commands. What are they? They're aspects of creation that penetrate every level of creation. The Keter, the first of the Eser Dibrot, is verse 2. Anochi Hashem Elohecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibet Avadim Lo Yihyeh Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. The second verse, translation, I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So in the first verse, the word Anochi is a 72-letter name, a 72 name of God, Aleph Yud Ayin. Anochi is an anagram for I write my name to you. Hashem is the name of God. Elohecha is your God, your Elohim. So you have the name of mercy, Hashem, and Elohim of judgment. And within that name of judgment, we have the mercy again, Yud Lamed He. Now, when you say the word Me'eretz has the gematria of Elohim the Alfin. When Elohim is spelled out with Aleph, it has the same gematria of Me'eretz. It has the gematria of 291, which is the gematria of Eretz. Al Panai, which is the translation of no other gods, but the gods that's being connected to are Chachma and Bina. Chachma and Bina are not gods, they're Sephirot. Their numbers, their levels of consciousness. But I can substitute into this sentence these names of God. I can substitute in these sentences all of these interconnections. What I'm trying to get across, and I'll keep repeating it, the Esser Dibrot are creations that influence and spread throughout every corner of creation. We are going to study more of this during the Shavuot night, because that's what the reading is on Shavuot. These 10 commandments, these 10 utterances. The third verse, you shall not make before yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. Now, this is a simple question that I'm sure you've never asked. Heaven is above. We will all agree to that. We have no proof of it, but we will agree to it. And earth is below the heavens. So, okay. But in what way are the waters below? The earth and the waters are below. But the way the sentence reads, it's heaven, earth, water. But is that the way we view the world? Do we consider the oceans to be above the earth? Water is Torah. Torah is Chesed. Chesed is the highest Sephirot in the physical world. How are we making these connections? Why are we not asking these questions? Now let's look at what the connections are. Again, we have in the third verse, we have the word kal, kaf lamed, which is yud lamed yud in the 72 names. When it says, and everything, which is what Paul gets translated as, and everything. It really means God is going to fight for you. We are told, be silent and observe Hashem fight for you in another verse. Shamayim has a gematria of 390. And that's 310 times Tal. Tal is Du. Du relates to Mashiach. Shamayim is 10 times more, whatever more means, than Mashiach. And a 72 name of Kaf Ket Vav, which is Koach, with the Vav at the end meaning his strength. Heaven is his strength, and it's 10 times the Mashiach. The word Mima'al I'm sorry, I misread the line. The word Mima'al is kind of being translated as above. But it has the letters of the fourth name of God, Ayin Lamed Mem, which is a name that protects you from evil thoughts, negative thoughts. And the word Ba'aretz, which we've discussed already, having to do with Elohim when it's spelled out with the letters Aleph. But in the verse, it's there twice. In the third verse, it has the word Eretz twice, once in the middle of the verse, once at the end of the verse. How many of us have ever even noticed that? How many of us have asked the question, what's that all about? As you can see, I'm definitely running out of time. And I haven't gone through but three verses. But let's look at the fourth verse in English. You shall not bow down to them or to worship them, for I, Hashem your God, your Hashem Elohim, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You've all read this. But it does not make sense. It can't be just. I'm being punished because my father did something? How is that fair? Forget fair, because we've always been telling the children, nobody ever told you this was a fair world. But how is it just? And we are told that Hashem is just. The world is perfectly just at every moment. It's what I have taught you, what the Kabbalah has taught, what my teachers taught me. And it's true. The world is perfectly just at every moment. But here, the Torah is telling me it's not just. How do I reconcile that? Well, the reconciliation is really very simple. Because the children is a code word for a reincarnated soul. So it will take you 3 or 4 generations to cleanse those negative actions you have done. Why 3 or 4 generations, 3 or 4 reincarnations? Because Hashem in His mercy says, you killed somebody over here. You have to die. But if I have you die, you can't bear the blame. You can't accept the responsibility. So we're going to do it in stages. So we're going to give you a little bit of pain in one life and some more pain in that next life and some more pain in that third life. And with the third, you probably are going to have it all cleansed. But maybe there's a little bit left over. You'll need a fourth.
Hello.
Should I go on? Do you have questions?
Yes, I'd like to say a little something. I hope I'm not, that it's the right time for it.
Please. You won't be criticized because this is learning. We are seeking truth, and my statements may not be true.
No, it's not a matter of truth. It's another extension of what you just said, that it might even take a little bit of the force, because, you know, I've left the Passover and really dealt in 10 plagues, especially the 10th plague. Because the word is the same letters as the bear, Dalet, Bet, Resh.
Bet, Resh, Devar. It's exactly the plague, the name of the plague. You're correct.
Okay. And everything that I couldn't get off of was Rabbi Berg's Haggadah. I mean, it was like, because it had to do with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva, all the things that we were doing with the Ari and all. But anyway, also from having taught beginners Hebrew, I knew the word to bear often, like you just finished in this teaching, with it meaning speak, words, sing. But I learned a new definition, which was a shock to me, and it was to destroy. So that's how, that was the definition that went along with the debar, the word for plague.
Right.
Oh, all right.
Can I interject one thing?
Yes.
Do you understand why destruction has to do with things. What is the connection between destruction and things? And the answer is, things are created. In order to create, something has to be destroyed. They are connected just the same way that love and hate are connected. We talk about love being a point on the circle of emotions. And what's the opposite point of the circle? The opposite of love is disengagement. It's indifference. You want to destroy a child, God forbid, just treat them indifferently. They never develop. But love is right next to hate on that circle. They are connected. Can you love without hating? What do you hate and what do you love? They're opposites? No, they're different. Destruction of things precedes the creation of new things. Please continue, Fana. I'm sorry to have taken so long.
No, because you've been saying that over and over, how destruction has to come. And I mean, we all know we fall, and then that's when we're able to rise to a higher level. But then I saw it again in the statement in just about every Haggadah, where Rabbi Yehuda had taken the first initial letter of every plague and spaced it into, I'm going to say, put it together into three, we'll call them words for lack of a better term. And there, right between, right at the fifth one, the three words that he put together was what we call a mnemonic to help us remember the order of the plagues and the names of the plagues. But he took those individual beginning letters and divided them into three different words. And at the middle space between right where the Dalet for Dever was in this abbreviation was my 72 name. And since that time, I've seen it three times in the lessons that we've done, because it has to do with shall be, you know, Hashem being an active being. Well, those three letters are lacking the Vav, otherwise it would be the four-letter name. But I was just hoping that I would hear something that would help me bring a connection. Connected all together. So when you said probably that it would take us three reincarnations and then maybe there'd be a little bit left over for the fourth to go into the fourth, then it just went off real quickly. So I hope I'm hanging on to the thought that came to me, that's why we're experiencing the plague, COVID-19, in this generation, at this time in our lifespan, because it's like that little leftover force that's hanging over our generation from the Exodus from Egypt.
Correct. You're absolutely right.
And then because Dalet Bet Reish, Deber, or Dever, or how many different ways we want to pronounce it, it depends on where the vowels are, whether it's a word, whether it's a thing, whether it means to destroy.
my married last name has that same three letters. So all I didn't really understand until, and it's too long to exaggerate, I finally did begin to understand when I was given the direction to go to the Tikkuni Zohar. I got the direction. So, I mean, I got it answered. But it was like I had to continue reading those pages from the Haggadah all these 6 weeks. I'm just now getting the release. It was as if the name de Bartolo, the 72 name, and this connection to the Exodus from Egypt, and just like we have a personal correction, we also have a generational correction, and then we have a spiritual connection. And that it was like I just had to keep on with reading those verses all during this period of counting for the Omer. But I felt like it was more than just for me, more than just for Tony's de Bartolo family. It was generational. You know, it was like worldwide.
It is. And I'm going to say some things. Because right now, this is all focused on what your studies have been, and most of the people on the call understand that relationship. But I want to expand the teaching so it applies to everyone.
Okay, good. I need it. Because when I told you I was stuck, it was like, that was it. And it wasn't a bad thing. I knew probably I was coming out of a klipot for something for me as well. But anyway, I need you to expand. Don't worry about hurting my feelings or thinking that it's going to bother me.
This isn't going to hurt your feelings at all. It's a technique of study of words. We know names really are words. Names of God are words with holiness. We know the individual letters have different metaphysical energies associated with them. So the word thing, the word, Devar, Devar, plague, as you know, destruction. Look at the individual letters. First, look at the first letter is a Dalet. And we know that's a doorway. Now look at the next two letters together. Bar is the Aramaic word for sun, S-O-N. Are things the doorway to children? Or are children the doorway to things, as in many generations? You had a son, you had a child, and they were stuck on the farm. Because that's what you had to learn. That's what we all went through. And look at the history of the development of societies from an empire falling into feudalism, falling into the children living off the land, living where their parents were. Then go back and look at those three letters, Dalet, Bet, Resh, again in a different way. Dalet is the doorway. Bet is the house. And Resh can be lack, or it can be the head. What is the doorway to the house of the head? What is the head? What is the house of the head? If you look on the Tikkuni Nefesh chart that we do with the Anabakoach, the Keter, the number one box, is called Galgalta, the skull. What's the house of the head is the skull, is the Keter. The gematria of Davar is 206. The gematria of light, or, is 207. What's the difference between the vessels of creation and the fulfillments of those desires that are the vessels of creation? I'm going through this analysis because this is a technique that you can utilize with your own name. This is a technique for you to find out which characteristic that is associated with your name will allow you to learn, oh, I don't like that characteristic, but if that's the tendency that I have, let me find out. Let me ask my friends, do I have that tendency? Because I can't see it myself, but let me find out. The technique that I've just described is something that every student of Kabbalah needs to learn and needs to do for their own names, for themselves, for their spiritual growth. And it's not stopping there. You can go further. Because the Dalet has letters that are not revealed when you see them on a page, but they're part of the name Dalet. They're called the Malui. So what can you do and what do you learn from the Malui of the letters in your name? And then I've just given you one gematria. There are nine others. And we're out of time, unless somebody has another question. We have two classes tonight. One at 4:30 is a deeper Zohar class. We're continuing with Parashat Vayera. Section 11, and our 7 o'clock class is questions and answers. I hope you all have a beautiful afternoon. I remind you that we have a late night, if not an all-night study for Shavuot starting tomorrow night, Thursday night at 7 p.m. And that purpose of staying up all night on Shavuot is to guarantee you no chaos between now and Rosh Hashanah. And that's a pretty expansive promise that the Ari makes, especially in a time of the pandemic. Everyone have a beautiful afternoon.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.